The pandemic headlines are a wake-up call. We hope you are paying attention.
And in Sweden, increasing numbers of people have implanted microchips with proof of their vaccination into their hands since the nation announced new COVID restrictions.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today we present part two in our COVID-19 two-part series with Twyla Brays and Marjorie Holston. Is more going on than meets the eye? Some images are leaping out of the book of Revelation. How should they be interpreted? Jan and her guests address many issues this hour as we equip you to understand the times and see current events through the lens of the Bible. Here is today's programming.
Well, they're living under lockdown with no full access to society or jobs. They're also facing fines and even jail. That's what the unvaccinated are up against in many European countries, and the backlash is growing. Dale Hurd reports on the escalating crackdowns and the rising protests.
When I talked to American Alicia Duren and her German husband Andreas, they were packing, trying to get out of Germany as quickly as possible with their three children. They've had enough of Germany's strict COVID policies. Europe is in the midst of an uprising of the unvaccinated, pitting citizens who refuse to get the jab against governments that want the pandemic to end. And neither side is backing down. Nation by nation, Europe is turning into a two-tiered society in which those who refuse to be vaccinated will live under lockdown without full access to society or jobs, facing fines and even jail. The Dorans are leaving Germany after Andreas became unable to work because of COVID restrictions.
I'm not allowed to work anywhere anymore without providing a proof of vaccination or a recovery.
Well, there's also no more privacy. Like, you go into the bakery and the cashier will loudly ask you for your vaccine pass if you want to go have a cup of coffee.
And, so and are you people, vaccinated?
No, like, very loudly. The discrimination is terrible.
It's a similar story across Europe. In Italy, the unvaccinated now must take a COVID test every 48 hours if they want to live a free life. Gunnar Beck, a German member of the European Parliament, calls Europe's COVID policies dangerously authoritarian.
I mean, we're not talking about the Black Death here. I'm not even sure the Black Death would warrant the effective suspension of the rule of law, constitutional government, and democracy.
Austria is ground zero for the world's toughest COVID policies. The unvaccinated have already been in lockdown for almost a month. And next year will have to pay $4,000 in fines every 3 months unless they not only get vaccinated, but get booster shots. Eric Hewitt is an American living in Austria with his wife and five children.
The government is attempting to transform the society into a totalitarian police state.
Hewitt's unvaccinated children have been kicked out of music school for refusing daily COVID tests. When shopping, their family is only allowed to enter grocery stores and pharmacies.
The toy store wouldn't let my wife in to buy a toy for her birthday.
Medical privacy, still a law in Austria, has been breached by the government. The state knows who has and who hasn't been vaccinated. And there are fears the government will use vaccine passports to include new Chinese-style digital identities. Catholic activist Alexander Chuguel says Austrians have become the lab rats of the Western world and believes the Austrian experiment will spread.
Welcome to the program. This is part two of my series here on COVID-19. And my goodness, looking at headlines online, million cases a day are going to be happening in the United States. Is that situation in Germany and Austria coming to America? Probably, eventually. Another headline here, robots fill in for staff. People are short-staffed for sure. Not sure I want to be served by a robot, but that's probably coming down the pike. Last week, I began part one of this two-part series, and we covered a lot of issues in part one. We talked about some medical issues. I'm going to continue to ask some medical questions here. I'm also going to deal with a few legal issues as well. Last week, we heard from Twyla Brace from Citizens Council for Health Freedom and attorney Marjorie Holston And they are both back in studio with me this week to continue and perhaps go a little bit more in depth on some issues. Twyla Brace, welcome back into the studio. Marge Holston, thank you for coming back. Where to begin? Now, I might double up a little bit more, and you might hear some questions that we had last week. That's because folks don't always hear the previous week. Folks, you can, if you go to my website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, you get both the audio and the video version of this program under radio. It's real simple. If you want to hear the various things we talked about last week, which includes Marjorie Holston's story of the loss of her mother, to, I would say, recklessness in a local hospital, except that story is being repeated millions of times around the world, and you need to hear about it and learn what you can do to prevent it. So that was in part one of the programming. We won't revisit that. Twyla Brace, let me just hit you with a couple of medical issues, and then we're going to go down some various other alleyways. We're hearing that there could be some even scarier variants to come along. What is your thought on that?
I don't know if that is fear-mongering.
Yeah.
I think we're kind of waiting to see, because if you look at the variants that have happened, we have gone from higher virulence to lower and lower. And that typically is what happens as the virus mutates. It gets to be more transmissible and more people can get it, but it's often less virulent. So it doesn't strike people, causing the hospitalizations and deaths. I'm not certain, and I'm just wondering if they're fear-mongering to keep the panic high.
You quote a doctor in your various publications, website, newsletters I read, who says that we cannot vaccinate ourselves out of the problem. In your opinion, how do we get out of the problem?
It's very interesting. I just listened to an epidemiologist, Sunitra Gupta, mm-hmm. from Oxford University, and she was saying how herd immunity is still very important. And the way that you get herd immunity is to allow reinfection, because then you keep high herd immunity in the community. My additional add to that is when you do lockdowns and you put everybody in their own places, you are not encouraging herd immunity. You're encouraging the virus to live on and on and on.
How about vaccinating children? Because that's the campaign that started here recently, and it's become an obsession. And where is it going? Children as young as 5 or even younger, perhaps. Is this not insanity?
Yes, it is insanity. And people like Robert Malone have said it's a hill he's going to die on to stop child vaccination. Because, of course, children are getting COVID, but it doesn't hurt them at all unless they are morbidly obese, unless they have diabetes, mm-hmm. or unless they have cancer and so they're immune compromised. Mm-hmm. But really, it's such a small percentage of children. Way more children get seasonal flu and have died from flu than are dying from COVID. It is insanity, and there's never been even sufficient trials, because even Fauci said that we would need 10 years to have a vaccine for COVID. That's how long it would take.
Well, the injection, because we choose not to call it a vaccine, we covered it last week. Go ahead and explain it again for folks who didn't hear last week.
There is no COVID-19 vaccine. They're calling it a vaccine because that's useful, because they can get emergency use authorization as long as they call it vaccine. The pharmaceutical companies would love to have it on the child vaccination schedule, because then they would lose all liability for all damages to children. So this all comes from the title vaccine, but in fact, the CDC has long called the vaccine what it is, which is that it provides immunity, and immunity means it prevents infection. It means you don't get the disease.
Yeah. And people are by the boatload.
They are, and the CDC in September decided to change the term so they couldn't be caught by their own definition. So yes, people are getting the infection who have been vaccinated, who have been boosted.
Dr. Malone says, do not vaccinate the previously infected. He said that rather emphatically.
Yes, and there are some studies that show that the previously infected will lose their natural immunity. There is apparently a period of time where the regular immunity drops about 2 to 3 weeks, where people are much more susceptible to getting COVID again, and maybe being susceptible to getting other things, because their entire immune system has a fall for a while after it.
The other thing I think we stressed last week, and I know you do in all your various periodicals, and then we heard the story of Marge Holston's mother, which the hospital, I think, would have to be seriously guilty of letting that woman die. let's keep folks out of the hospital, if possible.
Absolutely, keep them out of the hospital, because the hospital is following certain protocols.
Right.
Those protocols have been created by the corporate administration. They've been created by the federal government. They don't include early treatment. They don't even include effective treatment. They do include a lot of money for the hospitals by doing things that are, for the most part, going to lead to people dying, not living. As you have probably seen, all these hospitals refusing to give ivermectin, yeah. refusing to yeah. give fluvoxamine. As a matter of fact, Dr. Paul Merrick at the Centara Healthcare System, he sued his hospital because they put out a protocol at the end of September saying that nobody in the hospital could use ivermectin, fluvoxamine, certain vitamins. So he sued them because he figures that 50% of the patients he saved in the ICU were saved by those medications. And he is a renowned ICU doctor. Yeah. He has 4 ICU texts that people use when they're training to become an ICU doctor. So this is what hospitals are doing. They're not providing the care that patients need to actually survive.
Twyla Brace heads Citizens Council for Health Freedom, and you can learn a lot more at cchfreedom.org. And last week, Twyla, we referred to your protocol. Let's give it a proper title here.
The COVID-19 Quick Reference Guide.
Yeah, the COVID-19 Quick Reference Guide. And you need it, folks. You need to download it from cchfreedom.org. As Marjorie Holston said last week, her mother would not have died had she had the information contained therein. We'll give you contact for that. But you've got some other websites, Twyla. Earlytreatmentoptions.org. And I want to reference these early treatment options. What is the website earlytreatmentoptions.org other than what it just says, but why did you put this together?
We actually put together 3 different websites.
Yes.
One of them is called realrisk.org.
Yeah. Realrisk.org.
That's like multiple, right? R-I-S-K-S.
R-I-S-K-S, thank you. We had numerous emails and calls. Realrisks.org.
Yeah. Earlytreatmentoptions.org and covidlegal.org. And all of them are meant to look at a variety of the COVID issues. The first one having to do with real risk is looking at what are the risks with the injection. Early treatment options are to show you where you can get access to the doctors, to the clinics who will actually provide real COVID care, not the kind that you get in the hospital, the kind that will save your life. The different protocols from the Frontline COVID Critical Care Alliance, this group of doctors, including Dr. Merrick, who founded it, who put out these protocols for other doctors to follow or for you to follow if you can get some of those medications and you can't find a doctor to treat you. And then there's also videos of doctors, particularly Dr. DeMello. I would encourage mm-hmm. everybody to watch the video from Dr. DeMello. I quote him a lot in our COVID guide. He has treated 6,000 patients and only 35 of them were hospitalized and 14 of them died, and all of them with diabetes. And the reason why people with diabetes tend to die is because, again, COVID is an inflammatory and clotting disease. It's not a lung disease. So people who have difficulties with things like inflammation or with vessels, which is diabetes, they are more susceptible to COVID.
You say, this is various places that I'm reading the things you're writing and posting, mainly your website, find a pharmacy that will agree to supply the medications you need. Now, that can be a challenge, as you know. Here in the Twin Cities, I've heard there are few, but very few. And then you say, contact mom and pop or small town pharmacies rather than corporate pharmacies. Acquiring all needed therapeutics could require 2 to 3 pharmacies. Talk to me about this, because again, it's good advice, hard to implement.
Yes, the government has essentially said yeah. no to ivermectin,
correct.
No to fluvoxamine, sometimes no to budesonide. Sometimes even pharmacies are not giving prednisone when they learn that it's for COVID. It's ridiculous, right? These are all approved medications by the FDA. But now the FDA has come out and called ivermectin horse dewormer,
yeah.
forgetting that it's been used for 40 years in humans against parasites and all sorts of other things. And then not letting the American public know that about 40% of the medications that are given today are given what's called off-label, which means that the FDA has approved them for this one thing. And then once they're approved as a safe drug for humans, then doctors can find all sorts of other things that those drugs can be useful for. So 40% of the drugs that are prescribed today are off-label uses. They've never been approved by the FDA. But the drug has okay. been approved by the FDA. And that's exactly how they're using ivermectin, fluvoxamine, hydroxychloroquine is off-label. And somehow the government has led the American public to think that this is going to kill people. And that's not true.
You have, under earlytreatmentoptions.org, which is a part of your outreach, here are some of the early treatment options that you are recommending. Ivermectin, vitamin D3, vitamin C, quercetin, zinc, melatonin. Some of those easy to get. The ivermectin, a bit of a problem.
Yeah, so let's just talk about getting ivermectin. In the COVID guide, there is a website where there are a variety of Indian, and that means the country of India, which is why you should start now, because it takes about 2 to 4 weeks for the ivermectin to come, but you don't need a prescription. Some people are getting it from Mexico, but there are some mom-and-pop pharmacies. Okay. There are compounding pharmacies that will create the ivermectin at the dose that you want it. But the compounding and the mom-and-pop, they're here in America, and so they need a prescription. You can go to physicians in our COVID care group of listing of names, and lots of them have a pharmacy somewhere that they use. Like the James Clinic uses a compounding pharmacy in Florida, which can overnight the medication. The other early treatment that I think people need to know, and it is in our latest version of the COVID guide, and that is the use of 1% povidone iodine. This was used broadly in Bangladesh. It goes in your nose, and you just let it slide down to the back of your throat, and you can do it as a mouthwash too. You don't swallow it. You can swish it, but it shut down COVID in Bangladesh. And the reason that that's true is because this doctor, looking at some other research who came up with his study, realized that looking at COVID now, we all understand it's an airborne disease. It's not a touch. It's not a hand. Mm-hmm. It's not that, right? It's airborne. And so it lands in your nose. And for the first 3 to 5 days, COVID stays in your nose replicating. And a study from 2018 found that it was an in vitro study, so not in humans, but like in a petri dish, that it basically stopped all viral replication and killed the virus and equal to or more than 99.99%. It's so effective, and we've not heard about this. And yet people can be doing this in the safety of their homes. It's very easy to make. You do have to dilute it. There are instructions in the guide as to a link that you can click to make that happen. You can also use hydrogen peroxide diluted to do the very same thing. And then there are special mouthwash like Scope, Crest, and Listerine that are effective against COVID. This is simple. It doesn't even require a doctor.
Yeah. Here's something, and you and I talked about this last time we recorded. This was months ago. It seems that real persecution is coming down the pike here eventually. Right now, there's some accusations that there's a certain group of people standing in the way of the vaccination process. They would be white evangelical Christians. I'm just going to play a clip here. It happens to be CBN News. They're going to be raising an issue here, folks, that it's like the Book of Revelations leaping right out of the Bible, because we've got people right now in Sweden who are going to put their vaccine information in a chip in their hand. That sounds very much like the Book of Revelation. Is this the mark of the beast at present? No, because we don't have an Antichrist. We don't have a beast. You got to have a beast to have the Antichrist. Without the Antichrist, you can't have a mark. Is it leading to a mark of the beast? I don't know. It could be.
Just imagine having a microchip implanted in your hand as proof of vaccination. More and more people in Sweden are doing just that in the wake of the new COVID restrictions.
Other Europeans are joining in massive, sometimes violent protests over vaccine requirements. So what's happening here in the United States in response to the Omicron variant? Dale Hurd has the details.
The World Health Organization admits there is yet to be a single death from the Omicron variant. But that hasn't stopped some governments, especially in Europe, from using it as another reason to enact mandatory vaccination laws. Here in the U.S., Omicron cases are now confirmed in at least 17 states.
We have several dozen cases, and we're following them closely, and we are every day hearing about more and more probable cases.
But so far, Omicron does not seem to be dangerous. Initial studies show it has a similar genetic structure to the common cold, making it more transmissible. But in South Africa, where Omicron first emerged, hospitalizations have not increased significantly.
We really got to be careful before we make any determinations. But thus far, the signals are a bit encouraging regarding the severity.
Peter McGinn of Minnesota tested positive for Omicron after a visit to New York City. He had been fully vaccinated and received a booster.
Kind of feeling that tired. I kind of felt bad for about a day. Did my absolute best to follow the guidelines. I had my mask on the entire time.
COVID guidelines and restrictions have become a significant issue in Europe, where some nations are requiring citizens to be vaccinated. And that has sparked massive and sometimes violent demonstrations across the continent. This Belgian woman says, I don't agree with the mandatory vaccinations because these vaccines, I don't think they're great yet. In Spain, this college professor says the dead from COVID-19 are mostly vaccinated people instead of non-vaccinated. That's in all hospitals. This woman says, we don't want the COVID-19 passport. We want freedom. It's a human right. We don't want vaccines for us or our children. This is genocide. Austria has announced it plans to become the first country in Europe to make COVID-19 vaccinations mandatory. Germany plans on making vaccinations compulsory for certain jobs. European Union leader Ursula von der Leyen says it's time for the EU to discuss a Europe-wide vaccine mandate. And in Sweden, increasing numbers of people have implanted microchips with proof of their vaccination into their hands since the nation announced new COVID restrictions. When scanned, all of a person's information about their vaccination status is shown on a reader or phone. It's also a way to link devices implanted in your body to the internet. Dale Hurd, CBN News.
Well, microchips aren't coming to America anytime soon, but it does boggle your mind that people in Sweden would actually volunteer for that, to have a microchip implanted so that they could go to restaurants and go to stores and conduct business. So you look at these developments and you really shake your head and go, what in the world's going on? But here's another more serious development. You're not going to see that story about European protests against the vaccine and people within those various nations saying, I don't want to take a vaccine at all, and the government should never mandate that we take a vaccine. You're not going to see that story in the U.S. news because it doesn't fit the narrative. Here's a Google search for you. You can go to Google News and type in the word evangelical, then another word white, and then type in vaccine. And you'll be amazed at the number of stories that come up that are specifically trying to demonize the white evangelical community for somehow being anti-vaccine. I think it's religious bigotry of an enormous level. I mean, these are not fringe groups on the internet. This is the New York Times. This is the Washington Post. This is the Wall Street Journal. And this past weekend, it was Yale University that put out some kind of study of how to convince white evangelicals to get the vaccine.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in the studio Twyla Brace from Citizens Council for Health Freedom, cchfreedom.org. And I also brought back my guest from last weekend, Marjorie Holston. She is an attorney. She gave her story last weekend. You can find that hour at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Go to radio. We obviously can't post programming like this on YouTube. Marjorie, we've got a legal aspect going on. We've got people, and we've heard clips of people who are literally protesting, and many of them in parts of Australia, Europe, other places, even Canada, are going to jail for their convictions. What is happening in America is unconstitutional.
It is completely unconstitutional, and there are protests. I've participated in some protests objecting to the mandates. Mm-hmm. Our government cannot currently impose a mandate. They have attempted to. OSHA has not currently done that. But what they have done is gotten private businesses to do their dirty work. And many companies that have more than 100 employees seem to be too happy to go along with it. And there are millions of people who are facing that their employers say, if you do not have this injection put into your body, you will lose your job. You will lose your livelihood. If you're a year away from retirement with a full pension, you're going to lose that. The pressure is absolutely immense and is completely unconstitutional.
So businesses are reacting with knee-jerk fear?
I can't say why businesses are doing that because the government is not able to enforce it. many, many employers are enforcing what the government cannot do by mandating the vaccines. And so it's up to people to decide, am I going to take it? Am I not going to take it? Once you take it, you cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube. And if you choose not to take it, then we're looking at an unprecedented time where many people are saying, I refuse to do that. We had private discussions on this exemption. The exemption says, okay, it's a legitimate command, but I want to be exempt from it. But that seems to be, for many people, the only route to go to keep their job, that the employer says, you either take the shot or you file for an exemption. The strongest exemption is the religious one, because the Constitution guarantees you the right to practice your religion.
Are some of these religious exemptions being honored?
They seem to be temporarily honored. What I've heard from many of the people who have applied for them is, I was given a 6-month exemption. Right. And I've heard of other people that were granted an exemption and then they were told, oh, we changed our mind. Yeah. From what I can see, it seems to be a matter of the numbers game, where a company says, okay, we require everybody to do it. And then a huge number of people file for exemptions. The company realizes, if we lay off a third of our workforce, we'll go out of business. And that seems to be what's happening in many companies, that they're like, we're going to get back to you. And the deadline has been changed from this date to this date.
Marge, last week you related the story of the neglect and the virtual abuse of your mother experienced in the Twin Cities Hospital. She was hospitalized due to COVID, and she did pass away, for those of you who didn't hear last week's program. Then in the last week here, you became a part of a legal team for Scott Quiner, who was in a similar position as your mother. And he was in a Twin Cities Hospital, a couple of months on a ventilator, declining in health. And it appeared he was going to expire any day. The hospital insisted his wife let them handle this incident, but that meant that they would allow him to die. He was heavily sedated. He was on a ventilator. Then Scott's wife reached out to you for legal help. They were going to pull the plug on Scott. This would have been a week or so ago, January 13th. You got a temporary restraining order. But this sounds like a David and Goliath story, which you've taken on here. Relate what happened.
I got a call on January 12th. It was first from one of the Minnesota House of Representatives members, who's a good friend of mine. His name is Shane Mecklen, so call out to Shane for going above and beyond the call of duty for a constituent. But Shane said, this lady needs help. And I said, let me help you find an attorney. I was not successful. So that very afternoon, Annie Quiner came to my office and we drafted up I'm going to apologize, Jan, for using Latin, but it has to be done, an ex parte, which means no notice to the other side, because it's that urgent, motion for temporary restraining order saying the hospital cannot pull the plug the following day at noon. Ex parte is because I don't have time to set it on for hearing. This is coming so urgently. Midnight that night, I did receive via email a response from the hospital's attorney saying, we demand that we have time to be able to issue something. And so the judge said, okay, the hospital's attorneys have until 10 in the morning to do their documentation to file with the court, and then the judge is going to do their opinion. And the response I got from the attorneys is absolutely stunning, and I'd like to read two sentences
from you.
It says, plaintiff, Annie Quiner was the plaintiff in this action. The hospital is the defendant. So I need to use those terms. But Annie, the plaintiff's position is not supported by medical science or Minnesota law. As a result, the defendant will ask the court to issue an order that defendant has the authority to discontinue Mr. Quiner's ventilator and proceed with his medical care plan. Jan, I'd like to refer you to the medical care plan, which was part of my documentation I described earlier, but this is from the hospital records themselves that says, our plan is cessation of ventilatory support tomorrow, 11:13 at noon. So the medical care plan that they wished the judge to allow them to proceed with was basically to kill him.
This is hauntingly similar to the story that you went through with your mother.
It is. I will forever regret that I did not fight this action, but sure. I have a chance now to fight for Scott Quiner. And then I'd like to update you on what's happened since then. The judge did, in fact, issue the order saying the hospital is prohibited from pulling the plug. She, in fact, gave us a whole month and provided that more documents have to be filed for a hearing. But we were able to get him flown to a hospital in Texas. He was admitted to that hospital. The doctor looked at him and said that he is one of the most undernourished patients this doctor has ever seen. I don't know how much weight Scott lost, but they have immediately put him on hydration, nutrition. He was low on magnesium and other types of things. He's getting good medical care. They're starting to wean him off of the sedation that was needed to be on a ventilator. And so far, it appears that he is taking baby steps in the right direction. And Jan, America is watching this situation.
Well, the court of public opinion has weighed in. You've gotten some press attention. The whole story has gotten media attention around the world, apparently. Now, the public is outraged, quite frankly. Those that know the story, anyway, are outraged.
It is absolutely stunning to find out that there are protocols that the hospital is following. That when the hospital follows these protocols that do not lead to life-sustaining measures, the hospital gets a lot of money.
Yeah.
And as I dig deeper and learn more, if a hospital said, I'm not going to follow these protocols, they risk losing money. Many hospitals, half of their income comes from Medicare, Medicaid, and these protocols are required by the government. Yes. So any hospital that says, I'm not going to follow the protocols, risks going bankrupt.
And then we get back to the CARES Act again. The government paying a lot of money to these hospitals to carry out protocols that frankly lead to death. In essence, we're battling the government, correct?
We are absolutely battling the government, and we are calling on people to get up, take up your arms, be in prayer for Scott Quiner, which we need him to survive to be able to tell his story. We need to go to Congress. And we need people to demand of their legislatures, of their congresspeople, change this law. We should not be using our taxpayer dollars to fund protocols that effectively kill people and do not provide life-sustaining treatment that is needed to deal with COVID. And people need to realize what's going on and to demand change.
You know, Marge, I think it was Ezekiel Manuel who said, and he was bragging up Obamacare and socialized medicine, and he was bragging about rationing and how important rationing is, and now we're seeing it play out. He said, would everybody over 75 please just die? This is the leftist mentality that cares less about life, and now we're seeing it play out in real time, and you're in the midst of it.
I am in the midst of it, and if we don't fight back now, there will not be an opportunity to fight back later.
You have a parting word on this topic. We've still got some programming left here in this hour, but any kind of a parting word, how folks can be updated on this kind of information?
Jan, I guess what I would ask of you is that if I can provide the updates to you, and you can have it as part of your e-blast, and I will be getting some sort of way that people can tell their stories. We need stories from around the country. So people, please put together your thoughts. Get your medical records. We are absolutely going to be needing medical records to establish that this is happening all over. And we are not going to put up with it any longer.
Marge, thank you for what you're doing, really. Much of America thanks you for what you're doing. I know you didn't plan on doing it, but God has strange ways. That's all I can say.
You know, this is Romans 8:28, where the tragedy of my mother passing has put me in a position to say, you know what, I do not want that to happen to anybody else's loved one.
Very well stated. Folks, why don't you sign up for either my e-newsletter or print magazine? If you sign up for my e-newsletter at olivetreeviews.org, that's the best way that I can keep you apprised. And we'll also try to keep you apprised of some things here on Understanding the Times Radio. Twyla Brace, I want to ask you, because you have on your website a legal link. I don't happen to have the exact title of it, but you've got a lot of links. You've got realrisks.org, and we just talked about the other one, which was titled
COVIDlegal.org.
It's COVIDlegal.org, and that has the legal advice?
Yes.
Let me just say a quick word here about social media, because we're on lots of it. You can dialogue with one another there. And we're also being impersonated on lots of social media. A lot of fake people, fake accounts, fake YouTubes, people asking for money on various social media platforms. Please understand that we don't appeal for money ever on these social media platforms. So just have a heads up, would you? We're on Telegram, we're on Facebook, we're on Gab, Instagram, Rumble, YouTube. You can bet programming like this is not on YouTube, folks, because we'd be in big trouble for telling the truth like we're doing here the last 2 weeks. This is part two of my programming on the COVID-19 situation globally. And you can listen to part one on my website. Just go to Olive Tree Views, views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org, and go to radio. You have both the audio and then we have a video version of the programming. You'll see all the clips we're playing, so it's very visual. olivetreeviews.org. We thank our many, many radio stations for their patience as we cover such sensitive issues. Twyla Brace, and she is one of my guests for the 2 weeks, Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Also in studio with me is attorney Marjorie Holston. Last week, she gave the story of the demise of her dear mother, who passed not just from COVID, but from some hospital abuse as well. You can find that at my website. You gave your email last week, Marjorie. Why don't you give it again?
marjholston at yahoo.com.
Give it again.
marjholston at yahoo.com.
And we're going to deal with a couple more legal issues here in just a minute. Twyla Brace, we got to talking a little bit about these digital passports, vaccine passports, and I've talked to pastors and others who are very, very concerned that even just to go to church, you're going to eventually have to show a vaccine passport, show them that you are vaccinated. And there are millions of people, there are many listening to us today, who just are not going to take the so-called vaccine, which is just really an injection. It does not prevent COVID. That's been proven over and over again. But we are concerned about the vaccine passport, the whole digital phenomenon that's happening, morphing into the social credit score. Tell me about your concern.
I see this coming from a variety of levels because I've been watching it for a while. And as you know, I wrote Big Brother in the exam room. There's a section in that book that talks about the real ID. So this new driver's license and identification card that are issued under federal standards. They might be issued by the state government, but really the government took over the state function. And it was really the Obama administration that said, if you don't get real ID, you can't fly, which was a lie. But that convinced all sorts of legislators to agree to bow to the federal government. Now we have the real ID going around the country, and there is a plan to make that digital. There are also driver's licenses that are being made digital, being tried in Iowa and New Jersey and some other places. And then there's a unique patient identifier, which the government has been trying to do for a long time, and we have helped to stop, along with Rand Paul's office. Okay. And that would be to give us all a number for our medical records, which would be digitized, and all of our records would be in one place for all sorts of people to see them. So I think there's a whole variety of strategies moving in this one direction, which is to have a digital document, essentially a passport to life. Without this digital document, you will not be able to do anything. You won't be able to get care. I mean, that's what the law about Real ID says, that the federal government can choose what it has to be used for. So not just for commercial flight and federal facilities and nuclear facilities, but it says for any other purposes that the Secretary of Homeland Security shall purpose. This is a big movement, and I just think that the vaccine passport is a key. I think that might be one of the biggest things that's running this entire fear-mongering campaign, is to get us all to have this digital passport, which will then morph into a passport for life.
Marjorie Holston, you and I have studied Bible prophecy for a long time. It sounds like what we're talking about here is very tribulation-esque, going to blossom in the tribulation, but we're seeing a run-up to it right now.
The technology described in the book of Revelation is here today. We're seeing it and the push to have it in place. We need to fight back while we can. Mm-hmm. The book of Titus says, contend for the faith. That's contending for everything. We need to say no. We have a wonderful constitution in the United States that gives us the right to do that. And there is no pandemic exception to the constitution. True. Our founding fathers, they were very aware of death and sickness, and they did not draft into it. But if government is worried about you getting sick, they can totally throw all your rights out the window. That is not the case. If we don't fight back now, we are going to lose the right to do that. Yes. And again, fear, I call it fear porn. That's a word that's used all the time. If people are fearful, they're much more willing to give up their rights. And that's where I appreciate your ministry and Twyla Braze's ministry of don't be fearful. I mean, read the Bible. How many times are we told don't be fearful? Don't buy into the government saying we will be your savior and you must do this, because that is not our command.
As we see these things happen, digital passports, a lot of things we've talked about now for two weekends, the thing I'm reminded the most of is church is going to disappear in what's known as the rapture. And we're seeing the stage being set for that phenomenon to happen. Could happen today.
I am looking forward to it happening soon. It is my personal opinion, watching what's going on, Israel is God's timepiece. Yeah. I've learned you've quoted that many, many times. And we look at what's going on with Israel related to COVID. They are well ahead of where many countries are. They mandated the first, the second, the third. They're very close to mandating the fourth shot. I see Israel on a very fast path to destruction. But Israel as a nation must be here in order for the promises God has made to the nation of Israel to come true. They will come true. I see that the rapture is right around the corner. Okay. And that's the reason that we as Christians need to, number one, not be afraid, but number two, make sure that our loved ones know the Lord so that we're going to be there with them.
Amen. You had an article there too.
This article just came out. Scott Davidson is the CEO of One America Life Insurance Company. They provide a lot of life insurance for employers, and he said that there is a huge increase in deaths, huge, huge numbers, and it's not the elderly people who are dying, but primarily working age people, 18 to 64, who are employees of companies that have group life insurance plans through One America. What we saw in the third quarter, we're continuing into the fourth quarter, death rates are up over 40% what they were pre-pandemic. And you look at what has gone on. Not that many people are currently dying of the pandemic, but the hugest change we're seeing is that the number of vaccinated people is astronomical, and suddenly we're seeing all these deaths from different things.
I've got a little clip here of a pilot. He relates a very, very fascinating story. Let's play that and we'll talk about it.
I, too, did not want to get the vaccine. I've never had a flu shot in my life. Injecting experimental drugs into me, not something I ever wanted to do. Traveling between the state that I live in, Hawaii, and California, where I have family, two states that have archaic travel restrictions, I decided between the pressure of that and my airline that was going to require a mandate vaccine, I went and got the jab. I did it at 11:30 in the morning in Hawaii. Everything was normal. I went to bed. Woke up at 3:30 in the morning with my heart pounding out of my chest. I went to the ER. They hooked me up quickly to EKG, IVs, did blood work. Quickly determined that I was in atrial fibrillation. It's a major cause of stroke. As Lee said, there's critical phases of flight where this stuff, when I certified to go fly, I have to check off a box before I go fly all you lovely people wherever you want to go before I take that multi-million airplane. I check this box and it says I'm fit to fly. That was before COVID. That's when you knew, yeah, I have food poisoning, I have a cold, whatever. Here, you never know when the genie's going to come out of the bottle and smack you down. I could have stroked out at 100 feet trying to land an airplane with 40 airplanes lined up next to us. I could have just pushed down on that stick before the person next to me could do anything. It's all over for a lot of people. Not a good scenario. Pete Buttigieg isn't telling you anything about this. The administration is not. The NIH, the CDC, they suppress all this stuff. There's a number of pilots out there that are fearful to come forward and speak. They're fearful of retribution. There's guys that are going to work with crushing pains in their chest, in their heads. They're scared that they're going to lose their careers because they're 25 years old. This has got to stop.
Twyla Braze, we've just gone through the most unique holiday season, and perhaps the holiday season from a year ago as well, that we'll ever experience, and that is people marginalized, people told you can't come and see the grandchildren this year because you're not vaccinated. Terribly heartbreaking things going on both sides. Here we've got people listening, and I'd like you to comment on this, please, listening, who are vaccinated. Quite frankly, they're doing fine, and that we're grateful that you are. But again, we've got the most unusual Christmas time ever because of the marginalization of people who are told you can't come this year for Christmas because of these so-called vaccine issues.
Yes. And of course, what is the vaccine doing? I understand, and people have their reasons why they chose to have it, and they've listened to a lot of people who never told the full truth, and lots of them are doing just perfectly fine. They're not even being told by the news about all the people like that. It's reached the 1 million mark now of reported adverse events from this injection. But they're not hearing that in regular news. But when you really look at the injected full in the face, you see that it's no guarantee that they won't get COVID. They can have as high of a viral load in their nose as the person who has not been injected. They are getting hospitalized. They are dying. I think it was in Israel, where 60% of the people in the hospital were vaccinated. This thing that is being injected into people is not a vaccine. It's not going to save their life. It may be effective for some, it may not, but we don't have any idea what the spike protein's doing.
Sure.
The Chronic COVID Treatment Center is taking care of people who have never had COVID and they only had the injection, and some of the symptoms are the same. So there's a lot of questions that we have about this injection, and I think we're not going to know for the long haul. And hopefully all the people that have gotten the injection that have not yet had any kind of side effects won't get side effects. But are they willing to take the next injection and the next injection and the next injection? One thing that people don't understand is when that messenger RNA goes into your arm, only 25% of it stays in your deltoid muscle. Okay. They have found the spike protein floating around in the bloodstream, lodging in different tissues. And there are, according to one physician in Canada, 40 trillion pieces of molecular messenger RNA that are in every, I think it's Moderna, one of the COVID shots. And every one of them is meant to use your own body to generate spike protein.
Okay.
And spike protein is what's damaging tissue. Spike protein is what's causing the clotting. Some people will get totally by it without a worry at all. And other people may find something later. And some people are finding things now.
Right. Marge, being an attorney, I know you're involved somewhat in the whole exemption process. How successful is that, do you think, going to be?
It seems to be much more a function of what employers' needs are. And when many, many people have applied for that exemption, the employer realizes, oh, if I fire so many of my people, I will go out of business.
Yes.
But too many people are facing a demand that if they do not have the shot, they could lose their job. And it's unclear if they will be able to get unemployment at this point.
Twyla, you have produced, we talked about it last week, we referenced it this week, the COVID-19 Quick Reference Guide. It's available at your website, cchfreedom.org, and they have to call you 651-646-8935, 651-646-8935. Tell us what's contained in here. Last week you told us why you did it. Obviously, you're bombarded with what should I do and how do I protect myself from all that's going on, even going to the hospital, how do I protect myself? We heard Marge's story last week about the demise of her mother because Marge wasn't up on some of the issues you talk about in this particular guide, and as a result, she couldn't protect her mother properly. What's in this many, many page guide that's free? You can just download it from their website. Can you summarize?
Yeah. Let me just say it's called the Quick Reference Guide, and that means that you look at the index or you can flip through it and see, which part are you in? Are you in the you've never had COVID and you want to prepare? Then go to the preparation section. If you've got COVID, go to the treatment section. If you think you're going to be hospitalized or you're worried about being hospitalized, make sure you look at the hospitalization section so you know what you're going to bring with you if you go and who to ask for and to use our COVID wishes list. And we actually have questions in there that you should answer, and you should come with a sheet of paper to the hospital if you're actually going to arrive there. And again, we don't encourage you to arrive there. We encourage you to do everything in preparation and treatment to make sure you don't ever get to there. And then the very last section is about long-haul COVID or long COVID. And these are the people that have survived COVID, but they can't seem to get beyond the illness. And they are still expressing the spike protein, even though they're not infectious. And so it's causing all this inflammation. The clots are still there. The clots need to be gotten rid of. And then there's the introduction, which just talks about COVID, what it is, as opposed to what you think it is. The three main points that it all starts with are these. COVID-19 is a clotting disease, number one. Number two, the first 7 days are critically important. And number three, you have effective options to protect yourself. And there's this kind of laissez-faire thinking, I think, around the country that's either laissez-faire or it's not going to be a big deal if I get it. or it's too big for me to even think about or worry about. And this guide is meant to really focus you and let you figure out exactly what this is, exactly when you have to act, where are the doctors, how to find the pharmacies, what kind of medications, how to create the early treatment kit. We got the list in there. You can pull all those things together. And having had COVID myself, I found a few things that I thought, okay, I wasn't prepared with those because of the nasal thing. I didn't know about the nasal thing, and that's such an important thing to have. This is meant to give you a tool. One guy responded to this with an email to us, and he said, you know, I feel so much more comfortable now. I'm no longer nervous. I know what I can do. I know what I have to do. Another woman sent a picture showing what her treatment kit looked like. And I said, I don't see vitamin D in there. And she goes, yeah, it's out here. I just didn't put it in there. So people are preparing, and that's the thing. If you're prepared, you do not have to be in crisis or panic or go to the hospital before you should. You might be able to stay out. Most people can stay out if they get early treatment. Find the doctors, find the pharmacies, and make sure that you're prepared.
When family members, and this is happening big time, put down the known treatments such as ivermectin, what kind of advice do you have for them? That seems to be the answer to at least minimize the disaster going on, and yet it's not recognized by so many.
Yes, the government has made it such a fearsome thing that people are actually afraid of it, thinking they're taking a horse to Wormer, right? I think sometimes stories are really helpful. And so there is one story in here, like about a guy who was intubated for 2 months and his family finally got the attorneys to give him ivermectin. And voila, after 15 days, he walked out of the hospital. But there's also stories like this one woman. So here's a story that everybody can hang their hat on. This one woman at our conference, she talked about people that she knew. And there was a woman who had 105 degree temperature for 5 days. Now, I even looked askance at that. I'm like, really? Are you sure it was 105? But since that time, Dr. Molly Jones has talked about running into a patient with 109 degree temperature. And I've heard of 107 and 106 degrees. So 105, relatively speaking, was low, if you're looking at it that way, right? So 105 degree temperature for 5 days, she did not want to take ivermectin. But on the fifth day, she called up this woman and she said, I got to do something. And she said, will you take the ivermectin? Sure. And they found some ivermectin for her. Her fever was gone within, I can't remember if it was 2 or 4 hours. And the next day she joined them up at the cabin for the weekend.
Wow, amazing. We've got a couple of minutes left. What's just happened to Dr. Scott Jensen?
Oh, yeah.
He's also running for governor of Minnesota. He's a physician. He's fighting for us. What's happened?
He has been really against all of the COVID shutdowns, the masks, the mandatory vaccinations. He's supported the use of ivermectin. He has been targeted by the Minnesota Medical Board. Now it's his fifth time. Okay. And this fifth time of all the things, they've said there's a litany of complaints against you. You aren't vaccinated. Your talk against the mask. You promote ivermectin. And as he said, it's all the things that people have been saying in tweets. So it sounds like the medical board has looked through his Twitter feeds, looked at all those little complaints, and come up with a fifth reason to investigate him. And now they are asking for the medical records of the last 3 to 5 patients that he has treated with ivermectin. And he said in his video that this time he may go for getting an attorney. And I think that would be a good idea because these characters have to be shut down. This is harassment. Yeah. I don't know if they're doing it because they want to interfere in his campaign. They don't like that he's gotten a national voice. I don't have any idea, but they need to be shut down. This should be illegal.
Well, check out Twyla's book, Big Brother in the Exam Room, and I think you can get that at cchfreedom.org.
Yes, although we're about to do our third printing. So
wonderful.
So people can sign up, and we will notify them when the printing is ready.
Okay. Marge Holston, you have a final word?
As long as we're addressing the resources Twyla has, I want to go back to her COVID-19 quick reference guide. If I had had that, my mother would be alive. So I can't emphasize enough how important it is. And then it is free when you download it, but it was absolutely not free to make it. It is not free to run her fantastic organization. So I encourage you, make a donation to CCHF, Citizens Council for Health Freedom.
I would concur with that. We are about out of time, unless either one of you has a parting word. I want to thank you for coming in for 2 weeks. We really appreciate it, Understanding the Times Radio here. If you got a parting word, now's the time to say it.
Here's my parting word is please share the COVID guide because there are so many people who don't even know that it exists and it will be useful for them. But also, how important it is to stand up in this country mm-hmm. now, to be patriots, to stand your ground, because we have a country to save. We are standing on the Constitution. We need to stand on the Constitution and make sure we still have a Constitution and an America left at the end of the day.
Well said. I want to thank you again both for coming in. Somebody wrote this for me, and I'm going to read it as I go out of the program. They call these uncertain times, but are they really uncertain? For those who understand Bible prophecy, the times became quite certain with the birth of the modern Israel in 1948. These are the days of the budding fig tree, times of the end as a new beginning dawns. Societal upheavals, natural disasters, and the threat of new and more horrible kinds of war create fear and anguish across the world. But the Bible said these things would happen during the days not long before the return of Jesus Christ. The Bible's accuracy should give us tremendous comfort. Through it, God demonstrates his authority and his ultimate control. He did not create us, then leave us to fend for ourselves. He remains active and interested in our lives. He offers to make us part of his family. And when you're one of his, he has a Bible full of promises that give you comfort and hope in times of trouble. Matthew 6:26, Jesus reminded his followers of his Father's care. For the birds of the air, they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
We trust you have found this two-part series to be helpful and informative. Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We hope you will stay tuned and stay engaged and watch with us as day after day we see all things falling into place.